Welcome to Last Two Pages, where two best friends who love to read just can't keep it to themselves. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Megan. And today we'll be talking about villains.
Am I the villain?
Is it me?
I'm not the bad guy. Maybe I am.
We thought today would be a great time for us to just kind of talk about villains because why not? They're not talked about enough. I feel like we talk about the protagonist and the plots and like the romance of it all and like the morally gray hot boys. But you know what? Who needs to have a platform? Villains.
Well, the thing is about villains is that like they can be easily written very poorly.
Right.
And a well-written villain, you kind of got to respect the grind that they go on.
100%.
Like, damn. Like, I don't agree, but I get it.
Right. Right.
That's the best
villain. Maybe the means to the end are not altruistic. They don't make sense for everyone. But you know what? I get why you would do that. But yeah. Then others, it's like, okay, that's a lot. Like, well, why was that your journey? What's going on? But a good written villain has all of those things.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have said better myself. Maybe I could have.
Probably. What do you think goes into like being a good villain other than
being smart? Like, if you're not clever and like planning ahead, if it's just like you're gonna send them on this little cat and mouse game, I don't know. We've seen that so many times before, right? And that works for the Joker and like that style of villain. But like when it comes, if it's like a deep rooted villain that you don't know is the villain until like later on,
I eat that up.
Or a villain that just owns the villainhood.
I feel like villains being able to rationalize their actions and for us as the audience to be like, yeah, I get it. That makes a good villain.
Yeah.
Then you look at them with more humanity. You know what I mean? You're like, wow, that 100% makes sense to me. Why you would do that in the situation that you're in or like the backstory that you've had.
Or the villains that just stick to their guns the whole time. Like truly they are rotten inside and out and they don't have like a last second. Like I get a come to Jesus moment and like a redemption arc. But for a villain to like stay consistent the whole time is kind of epic.
I agree.
To show that true contrast. And like, not everything is black and white. Yes. But sometimes when you have, especially with the glorification of morally gray, it's like there's the romanticization of like that traditionally evil character.
Mm-hmm.
But like when there's now a villain that is just
rotten
to the core.
I agree. That's refreshing.
Or it just makes me cry.
You're and good at that.
You know what? Sometimes I want the heartbreak in my books because I just want to be hurt sometimes.
Right.
And it's better from an outward source than an inward source.
That's why books are great. That's why books are great. We're here for you, Teresa. No tears at the table.
Okay.
So if you... Okay. Imagine a fantasy world. Close your eyes, imagine.
Close your eyes, shut your mouth.
You are the villain. What kind of being are you?
I think I would be like a desperate villain. Like I Ooh. Think... Oh, what kind of being? Sorry, I'm already getting into it. The being I would be is, I think I would be what everyone else is on this planet.
Right.
Whether that be fae, human, alien. Yeah.
You're not like us, like anything special. The common being.
That, or I would be like one of those kids that were pointed out as being like advanced. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, like the pipeline of that to burnout, because I feel like that's the type of...
The gifted kid, the gifted child to burnout. I feel like I would
be a burnt out, like in Meet the Robinsons.
The movie?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a book or not. I don't know why I said that. The one but like with the blonde haired kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the bowler hat man?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be the bowler hat man type of villain.
You... absolutely would be the bowler hat man type of villain. I don't know what his name is.
Slightly mentally just
deranged.
Yeah, not there. Something happened and now I'm like, I think what drives me is some idea, or I think this is the only way for it to be, and I'm desperate to make it a change, and so I like don't care about the means at all.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to like succeed in this because I think it will better society or save everyone.
Right. What do you think would get you there? Like, is there a catalyst for this?
My family probably was murdered. You know?
Like, original.
Classic. <Just kidding>. No, like, something like...
My family's just murdered.
Hella traumatic.
Mm. And you're like, this is the only way to fight the system.
And like, you can't fully hate me because like...
You went through shit?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm. But then you just kind of went insane and like, you know, whatever. Okay.
The only way to stop me is by putting me down.
Yeah. Do you work alone, or do you have like a mafia behind you, or, you know, something like that? Like a group, or...
I don't think anyone would be on my side. Maybe paid. I don't know where I'd get the money. Maybe life insurance.
Yeah, like, what are you trying to overcome? Like, I know you're fighting. You're like, yeah, I gotta fight the system for the good of everyone. But, like, what are you doing?
I think I'd be someone that's, like, working with the good guys. Mm. But, like, is just too slightly bad that I turn into the villain. You take it too far? Yeah.
You always take it too far. Okay.
I think that would be me.
There's no, yeah.
Like, okay, in the rebel cause, I would be. What being would you be?
I love that we went through your whole thing. That actually looped around perfectly. Mm-hmm. I think I'd probably be the same. Like, probably human, lacking any, like, ability. I don't see myself as, like, a all-powerful sorceress or, like, the hand of God or anything like that, you know? But I feel like I would be like how I asked you the mafia question. I could be like the figurehead, you know?
See, I picture you as a Jafar character. Like, you...
I'm leading the hyenas to kill the lions. No, that's not Jafar.
That's Scar from The Lion King. You were so confident. You're like, me and the hyenas. Absolutely. You're somewhere in the Disney universe.
Not Jafar. Jafar is from Aladdin, right? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But I see you as like a puppeteer.
Oh, that actually tracks. Mm-hmm. That tracks a lot. I don't think I would have the same, like, I feel like I would have a very not well thought out like arc at all. It would just be like, yeah, she wants to be the most powerful and will do anything to get there.
Exactly.
You know, and like, Jafar. I don't feel like I would have this like for the good of mankind for whatever. I'm like, the people in power suck, and so I would be better fit. So let me just get there by whatever means necessary. I feel like that would be my vibe.
Yeah
I wouldn't, like, trap genies or anything like that, like Jafar. Or lead a pack of hyenas. But, I feel like that would be more my vibe.
Yeah.
Scar would definitely be, like...
The cast-out brother, that's definitely, like...
Yeah.
You were wronged by, like, one person, and then you're, like...
I'm killing their bloodline.
Yeah. Like, you would be in a one-track mind of, like, decimating an entire...
That's kind of why I didn't like Lion King, honestly. I was, like, not Scar did nothing wrong, but, like...
Not a Scar sympathizer.
I was more just like, I don't know. How good was Mufasa's like pride run? I don't know. Question marks for another time.
Especially when Kovu was so hot. It's my villain arc.
You're like, but But the other, like, the other villain is hotter, so I'm gonna become a villain. Yeah. To like, yeah, exactly. Okay, that makes sense.
Exactly.
I feel like we would be bad villains though.
I would not be good at it.
No, that I get the whole like, dee, 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 I'm gonna do the worst. Like, I feel like you'd be crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, like, me and the Riddler would be, like, friends. I don't know why I'm in a Batman world for villains.
I was going to say, we do not need to go down that path, I'm knowing really where we've been. I'm
really in the shows in my brain for villains. Those are all coming to the forefront of my brain cells.
So, we also wanted to talk to you all about some villains that we've read in books that have like stuck with us that we really liked. So we both came with two villains and we're just going to tell you a little bit about their backstory. Spoiler alert, the books that we'll be talking about are Rubble by Marie Lu, ACOTAR by Sarah J. Maas, The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins, and The Shades of Magic series by V.E. Schwab. So if you don't want to know anything about those series or the villains, then you can exit now. One of my most impactful villains that I've ever read about was in Rebel by Marie Lu. His name was Dominic Hahn. He ends up really being morally gray because of what he was fighting for, and I like honestly get it, which is, does that make him a true villain? I don't know, but I felt like as this was a series that ended and then she added on one extra book and had to create an entire new plot storyline villain with just this one book for one of the character's younger brothers, and I was like, this is so weird, like why am I reading this? I don't think I'm gonna like it. Amazing. You got some of the other characters. You got the little brother story. Yeah, it was great. So Dominic Hahn runs like a mafia-like underground ring. And this is in Antarctica, in like future state where the country is like falling apart, like the United States and like North America is falling apart. All of those like stage four countries that are like well established have now like crumbled, deteriorated, and all of those civilizations that we believe in present time are like wastelands, have nothing, are like the superpowers of the world now, right? So Antarctica has evolved to become this utopia, or so you think, and it basically runs like a video game where you have a chip implanted in your head and every good thing that you do is rewarded with points, and every bad thing that you do takes away those points, and those points can determine where you live, what jobs you can get, like all of this stuff. If you are under a point level, like you can't even get basic medication, and so it's a way to like not have crime and everyone to be perfect, but is it really? So this man gets all the way down like to the bottom of the levels and basically just doesn't care anymore.
What's a bad thing?
A bad thing is like,
like you jaywalk?
Yeah. Yelling at someone, gambling, like in a school setting, it would be like cheating on a test or like bullying someone. You would get negated, those things. But there's a way to cheat the system. Like, oh my gosh, I thought you were going to get hit by something, and shoving them. So there's ways around it that people have figured out that cheat the system that aren't great. So basically what happens is his wife and son die, and producers, both of them, I haven't run this in a little bit. Both of them die, and he can't, like, because he wasn't able to get medicine for them. They were like living on the streets, like there was nothing for him or them. And what happens is he wants to destroy that system. So he's trying to build a machine that will wipe out the level system, and it results in chaos within Antarctica. The level system is completely connected to like how the city runs with like billboards, and like it basically just looks like white buildings without it. Like, just very, I don't know if I'm explaining this well. He's a bad guy. But basically he creates anarchy and he kills anyone to get there. He kills. That's what makes him like bad, is that he kills everyone to get to that spot. And no matter what, like, it's a, I want to create anarchy so I can rule this how I want to. Do I necessarily see that as a bad thing? I don't know. But it seems like all of his stuff, like, he was making money off of, it was basically like pod racing that they would do, like, in the underground. And it that's what they would do. And he would make money off of that. So, yeah. It was a great book. I really loved it. Rebel by Marie Lu.
Wow. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, that's hard to...
It's hard to, like, wrap your head around the whole...
Especially if you, like, partially agree with him.
But that's what I loved about him. He, like, did horrible things, but I was like, God, you know, even though this is, like, the very black and white society of, like, what's good and bad.
Yeah.
You have to come to terms with the fact that he's a gray character in this black and white world.
That would be a Black Mirror episode.
It would be, like, honestly. I feel like it is a Black Mirror episode.
I know, there are a few like that. But that's...
Huh. Loved him.
Dominic makes you think.
Mm-hmm. What was your villain that you liked?
My first one... So, in The Shades of Magic by V.E. Schwab, the main villain to me was magic.
Oh.
And so that's why I really liked it. Because... And just... The lust for magic, and pure magic corrupts. And so with that, then all of the dribble downs to how that affects people and, like, the plot was really interesting, because it's like you're fighting a solid force that has no rhyme or reason besides, like, expanding.
That's wild.
And how Shades of Magic is set up, there's four types of London layered on top of each other. They're kind of like dimensions. There's Grey London, which is a place without magic, and it's basically like regular London. And it kind of takes place during pre-industrial revolution. Kind of like classic fantasy.
Right.
World, but also a little grimy and kind of steampunk. Ish, just kind of dirty. Then there's Red London, which is where the main character Kel is from, and it's a land of plenty with magic working side by side with people. There's like a good balance. They have this river of magic, and because magic is like in everything, it's in all of the elements and the people, but it only shows itself in a few people, and Kel is one of those. They're called the Itari. Itari or Entari? Oh, dang. And the way the magic shows in them is through one of their eyes is black.
Oh.
Because magic, like, in its pure form is black. So then the next London is White London, and it's a place where magic is controlled and, like, death and blood run wild in the streets, and it's, like, it's a very scrappy, desperate, like, the magic is being kind of leeched, and, like, if you have any magic, you're in power. And then there's Black London, where the magic took over and London fell, and they had to, like, seal off any of the portals that got there, because only a few people can step through each of these Londons. Right. And that's how the people in power, like, communicate with each other, and only the people in power really know about each other. Like, Grey London has no idea about magic, except for a few people that are just, like, conspiracy theorists. And then Red London, obviously, it's, like, land of plenty. They have magic.
Right.
Rulers are great. White London, all of the leaders are constantly being shuffled through, because there's always a change in power. They're always killing the leaders and, like, getting through.
Well, I'm sure his magic is running rampant. Like, the more it, like, does it make them, is it kind of like chaos?
Well, no, White London, the thing is, it's like there's a scarcity of magic.
Oh.
And so any magic that anyone can, like, grab onto is eaten, or just, like, they're desperate for it.
Okay, got it.
And greedy and hungry. And then magic does have, like, a sentience and, right, like, a being, and, like, slowly consumes people,
mm-hmm,
and, like, takes over. And then it's, like, their will, the magic's will, is, like, who they're fighting against.
That's so interesting.
They're trying to, like, consume all of these places.
Yeah.
And, like, suck all the magic and be bigger. And so it made the read of the story feel like a build up to a final boss.
Right.
Which was fun because so they had to continually like pick on all of the.
You're getting little trickles. The underlings. To like a river, to a waterfall. Like you felt like it was.
And it spread like a contagion type issue. It would be like if you touch someone that was like consumed by magic, it would like be a domino effect. And so that was really fun. And it's one of those things where it's like you can only stop it or it just wins.
Right.
Like there's only two things that can happen. Mm-hmm. Or you had to like figure out the balance. And that's what like Red London has figured out.
It's like a crazy ultimatum.
Yeah. It's that or like magic consumes all. It was really fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a great read.
As a villain being like this overarching like source.
Right.
And
instead
then
of a person. It's like a swarm.
And like at first it like wasn't a person and then it like takes
a form.
Yeah.
A corporeal form. Wow.
And like will like it can It like takes over as hosts in people's bodies and like works through them. And so a lot of the people that are like really bad are just like consumed by magic.
Right. Interesting.
It's a cool read. It's really good. It's a good series. Yeah.
I need to read it. My second villain might be familiar to some of you. This is Amarantha from ACOTAR by Sarah J. Maas. I feel like she isn't talked about enough. So Amarantha, for those who don't know, was a former general of this land that was trying to conquer this other land, right? So she went from court to court in this place, charming all of the high lords to talk with more trade, more communication, like was putting up a great show. I'm just letting you drink. Putting on a great show. And so she then uses, like after 50 years, she's been doing this kiki with all of them. And then she tricked all seven of them out of their power by using a spell stolen from her land and drugged them. And so she took control of Prithian within days and proclaimed herself the High Queen. And then she set up court in this sacred place and tortured and killed and did literally all of the bad things. Like picture the worst person and like what they would do. Amarantha probably did it.
Yeah.
What I liked about her was that she was ruthless. Nothing could touch her. Not only did she convince all of these like most powerful beings in the land to do her bidding as just like a high fae, she did it with somewhat ease.
Yeah,
had them all by the balls,
frankly, way
so
too easy.
Quick, literally so quickly, and kept that power for 50 years by herself. That's unheard of. Like that's crazy.
It was intense.
Yeah, it was amazing. She stole all of their power and was able to use it against
them. Not all of it. Okay. They all had a scrap
most
of their power.
Most of it.
They did not give up their powers. It was taken from
them. It was like a drop. They had like a little bit left, but not enough where they were able to control the way they used to. It used to like flow freely through the lands. And how do they describe it? It was like a... like underwater or something? Or there was like... A gate between them and their full power potential.
Yeah,
there was something like it was like a mental block. Like they could feel it, but it couldn't go
through.
They
had no access to it.
Right. So yeah, they had a little bit, but not enough where they'd do anything beyond like basic tricks and whatever. And so I liked that she had a really unlikable personality. And I think that shined through the whole time. Like, you know what she's going to say. You know how she's going to act.
Yeah.
It's not really, like, I liked that she wasn't necessarily quick-witted.
She was a classic prideful villain.
Exactly. It was pride, envy. Like, those were so prominent. It just made her super memorable to me. And yeah, it was, I just, like, think about her all the time. Like, yeah, was she eventually defeated
by a little human?
Because she was prideful and thought she could do anything. But truly, if Feyre didn't say that word, she would not, like, it would not have.
Yeah.
She would have continued to be the high, like, queen of Prithian for ages and ages and ages.
Yeah. Nothing was really stopping her. Her, like, guy that was in charge of her didn't really care.
Not at all.
And frankly, poorly written villain, King of Hybern.
Yeah. Like, the general for him was written better than he actually was.
I think
was.
That's why Amarantha stood out so much, is because the King of Hybern were so lame in comparison.
Especially when, like, you know, the High Lords regain their power.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, after that, you're like, oh, that, like, how was she even able to take control of all of these people? I think that made her trickery infamous. Once you fully understood, like, oh my god, all these people, like, seriously
just fell right into her gods,
and she
web.
Just, like, had them. That's crazy.
She had them by the balls for a while.
50 years.
And then she, like, nuts. Murdered children, assaulted everyone.
Like, a lot of children.
Awful, awful.
I'm not sitting here saying I like Amarantha at all.
Sympathizer.
She is unlikable in all forms, but she was well written.
Yeah.
So
she was.
Yeah, Amarantha was great.
Sir J. Maas has a few really well written.
They're
ones.
Either really good or just meh.
Yeah, or just meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your next villain?
My last villain is, you love to hate him, Coriolanus Snow.
Oh.
From The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. He was so... She was able to write a whole prequel about him. And it's like, she wrote the prequel so well that it's like, you get where he's coming from, but you also still hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is so... He is just a result of his upbringing. Nurture versus nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, his dad, bad guy, dare I say, an arsehole.
An arsehole.
And he had to, like, scrounge about. And then he was like, the only way to survive is to be, like, the most powerful. And the only way to be the most powerful is to have this control. And the only way to have this control is if you have
the power to kill children.
Yeah. I was just...
The 75th Hunger Games.
Something to keep them in line.
Yeah.
Like, and he didn't even start the Hunger Games. But the Hunger Games almost died out.
Right.
But he realized that, like, he could harness this and, like, use it and amp it up. And he did.
Mastermind.
And was successful for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, I saw some tweets about how Lucy Gray and PETA were super similar as, like, the performers. They knew how to play the game.
Yeah.
Where Katniss and Snow wanted to do everything in their power to end the games, but understood the power that they held within that. Katniss hated the games, but knew that she could use the people watching it to create a statement, like how she didn't Catching Fire.
True.
In the same way that Coriolanus going through the games in the way that he did, he understood how powerful it was and utilized that for his own gain to make the rest of the districts fear the capital for 75 years after that.
He became the president of Pen M.
Yeah, like, that's so, like, that's a well written arc in general.
He didn't like the games, and, like, until he got power hungry.
Right. He saw what the districts did, and he, like, had hope from that, but I think it was the control, right? Like, his undying need for control ultimately is what killed him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because poison.
Yeah.
And his, like, main mode to kill people being poison is just, he's a trickster.
Hot girl shit.
It really is.
Right.
That's why, like, most females are known for, like, poisoning. Hot girl shit.
I loved in the first games when he let, well, when the, it wasn't Plutarch, it was the one before that, the game maker, when he let PETA and Katniss live, and then he, like, gets asked to come in and, like, meet with Snow, and it just is the bowl of the berries.
He had the power. Yeah. He had so much power and he knew how to wield it to like, for it to work.
He was silent, but so deadly.
So deadly.
Like him just showing up at Katniss's house to have a conversation. Like that is some like, oh wow. It just makes you shiver thinking about it.
Cause like, you know what he's about, and like what he's doing. You know, he has this power and he knows he has this power. And then he makes everyone else feel so powerless.
Insignificant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was able to harness that for so long until like this other entity came to challenge him. And then Katniss realized that it's not just a snow being bad. It's just that people like ultimate power corrupts or absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And she realized that. And that's why she shot the other lady, because she just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
She saw that like even in good there can be or like in the.
It's like yin yang.
Yeah.
You know, in all good, there's a little bad.
Oh, I was thinking more like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Oh, just kidding.
Like these people can be corrupted and have like a good statement. And then once they have the power.
Right.
Like Snow
knew
at the end, tricking his other Anus friend's family into thinking that he had nothing to do with his death. Why were the two main characters Coriolanus and Sejanus? Like, why was that their names?
I love it.
Of anything, they could be named.
It's pretty wild. I do like the name Coriolanus.
I prefer Cornelius, and I thought it was Cornelius Snow for my entire life until
book
and movie came out.
You're like, yes, Cornelius Snow.
Yeah. Like, always. Like, even
That's crazy.
In the other movies, did they say it? Like, I don't remember it ever.
Well, most of the time, he was just called President Snow. Like, there's power in a name, and I don't think that everyone remembered.
Snow lands on top. What a great motto.
He had some banger quotes that he told Katniss. And I just, ugh. And I honestly think, like, in some sense of the word, he wasn't wrong. And I think that's also what made him likable. In his own mind, he was like, this is the only way to control these rebels who just want to see the death of civilization as I know it. And he lived through that war in the capital.
Lives were meaningless to him.
I get it why he would think that, especially with Songbirds and Snakes. So mm-hmm. I 100% agree with you. It's just
there was no value to human life except for how he could like leverage
wield it
that death or life. And like, damn, if I was put in a room with him, he would definitely kill me. And I
see, and I truly think he wouldn't think it was worth it to put the effort into killing you. That's his energy.
He knows, you know what I mean? Would not be able to successfully run like a rebel uprising.
Yeah.
And he knew the power of song all along.
Mm-hmm. Villains are one of the most, I would argue, the most important character of your book. I will argue that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it is a villain that the main character is like fighting against, that is going to be the biggest obstacle that they have to work around. And without a well-made obstacle, a book is not gratifying at all.
I think that really plays into, from like our least favorite tropes episode, the build up to nothing.
Mm, yeah.
If you're going to have the tension drive the book with no satisfying ending, that's what like where a good villain comes in. Because like the conquering of a good villain takes a lot of work, and to fully write that and flesh that out, satisfying.
What are we reading right now?
No. What are you reading right now?
I am reading a lot of books. What am I not reading? Honestly. I'm so good at... No, I'm just kidding. I actually have just had time to read.
It's so just not me. I could not read multiple books at once.
No. I think I'm reading 5 right now. But the one I wanted to talk about was The Aurora Cycle by Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff. I have read this book before, but it's been a few years, and I forget how, like, it's very YA, but it's still just, like, has some feel good elements to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's found family. It's we're all in a spaceship doing stuff. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy. Honestly, that is like the best descriptor for it. It's Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's great. It's fab. I really like all the characters. I haven't read the third book in the series yet. I only read the first two because the third one wasn't out. And so I'm really curious how it either ends or it's going to keep going. Right now, it's like a plague upon the universe that's happening or whatever. And it's super interesting. There's like powers at play. One of the characters in the book like came out of cryo sleep when she was supposed to be dead. Like 200 years later. Which is super interesting. Mm. And so she has a very different perspective on like stuff that's happening because she was like, I was just going to go to like this Mars base to like learn about all this stuff. And now here I am waking up in cryo sleep 200 years after and all everyone I know is dead. And now I'm like dealing with aliens that I never have had to like, how have we seen these species before? Is this just like known to everyone? Because like, why is he completely white? Why do we have like a fairy on board? Why does he have pointy ears? Very interesting. I really like it.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Huh. That is something with like doing this podcast is realizing how much more YA we read than
other people.
A lot of people.
We read a lot of YA.
We really do. We love YA. There's a market for
sometimes
it.
Sometimes they're just written better. And I like there's a time and place for spice. And like new adult books, but honestly, like sometimes I just want a good story that
I read those,
cuddle up 200, 400 pages and just be like, yeah, that was great.
Well, the same thing goes for any like spiced book, some cinnamon and
spiced book. Yeah. Spice. What do you spice your book with?
Argyle. That's a pattern.
Oh my god, I can't believe you said that.
It sounds like a spice.
Even if you're like, what were you trying to say? Argon? No. Like that's a
cardamom.
Chemical.
I like, don't know. Cardamom sounds like it could be
cardamom.
A texture or
what would cardamom feel like?
I couldn't even tell you what cardamom tastes like.
Okay. What are you reading right now, Teresa?
I'm still reading Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. I'm still on the Fellowship because, frankly, I hit a slump because I got sick and re-addicted to TikTok. And
gotta get off of that girl.
Reading all the hate comments towards us. And no, I'm getting over it. And we're not mad at the people that commented males that lost their powers. Just the people that were mean to us. Anyways.
I'm not even mad, honestly.
I'm not mad.
I like had it's to just like, take I a break. I have logged out of our TikTok account.
I had to see
I'm just,
it all.
Like, tired.
That's why I'm like, ugh, just tired of it.
You're a glutton for punishment sometimes.
And I'm just busy. But my sister and I are reading it together and she is finally like, you just have to sit down with a snack and some tea and then you'll like get into the flow of it. And I'm like, I know it's what I need to do. But Gandalf just needs to get out of my head so I can read it smoothly. And it's not like
that wizard man is living in your head rent free.
And he does. I need him to like go for a walk so I can like have the house to myself for a little bit.
I picture this is like your inner monologue is just Gandalf speaking.
It is.
Well.
That's what it is.
No, like every day.
Oh, like no.
Here I am pouring my tea. I don't know if that's anything close to
that.
What he
did
like.
Honestly, that wasn't a bad impersonation. I'll be honest, it's pretty good.
Great
for someone that hasn't watched Lord of the Rings.
No, I have now.
You have.
Yeah.
Was it the extended edition?
Yeah. I watched it with you in one day. All three of them.
When?
When we lived in... Well, you lived in 1421. The year after. Yeah.
I
had like 8 pieces of bubble gum that were hard as rocks.
Oh!
Yeah.
I forgot about that day. Oh my gosh. In our giant tub of double bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Aww. Oh, yeah.
I watched all of them. I haven't
just
watched
kidding.
The Hobbit.
And I was even the one that showed her. I do have the memory of a goldfish. Mm. And I never claim to know everything.
It's okay.
But we're doing fine. We're doing all right.
We hope you're doing fine.
We make a podcast for funsies. You don't have to listen. You can if
but
you
we're
think it's
so
entertaining.
We're so glad that you're here.
I've never been so grateful for the people that tell me nice things about it. I'm like, oh, oh, thanks.
We thank you for listening to this episode of Last Two Pages.
We hope you like it, and we'll see you on the next page.